Psalm 82. Open it. I want to borrow a statement from there and give a little exhortation to the married men and women and to those who also aspire to get married. It's important. Now, in Psalm 82, one statement there I want to borrow. Verse 5. It says, they know not concerning the wicked. It's talking about the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. Then it says, that is the statement I want to borrow. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. And Psalm 11, verse 3, is a popular scripture. Psalm 11, verse 3. Everybody, can we read it together? 1, 2, 3, go. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? A foundation is the base upon which a building stands. The strength of a building is determined by the kind of foundation it is placed upon. Some foundations are sinking sand. The earth is built, hallelujah, upon some foundations. What it means there is the principle for the earth to have her harmony. For the earth to have her harmony. That is the foundation the psalmist is referred to. And all the foundations of the earth, he said they are out of course. What is the effect? Everywhere on earth, there is disharmony. Every institution that makes for good living, the foundations have been destroyed. No more love. Human existence, the foundation for human existence, the way that God has made us to live, is to love your neighbor as yourself. But where is love again? See? Praise God. Praise God. The institution of governance, is based on trust. When somebody elects you and keeps you in an office to manage the resources of the community, of the nation, for the betterment of the community, where is the trust anymore? When they get there, everybody wants to enrich themselves to the detriment of the community, the progress of the community. All the foundations of the earth. Economic foundations are broken down. And coming to the spiritual angle now, the only place that should find some sanity is the church. That's why he says, now, the righteous, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? All the foundations. Well, there are many foundations, but I'm specifically, I'm concentrating on the foundation for Christian marriage. Even that foundation has been destroyed. And if it is destroyed, what can the righteous do? Among others, I have found three foundations. Praise God. For a Christian marriage. And if these three foundations are destroyed, there will be no basis for a marriage. Christian marriage. And if this foundation is destroyed, let everyone that is married go back and start all over. Build it. If the foundation is not properly laid, the building that you build on top cannot stand. The Christian relationship, marriage relationship, and this is a serious issue. It's a serious issue because Pastor Thomas was given some examples of what he himself had to face in counseling. That is his own. He has not had half of what I have had. He says it is headquarters. I am headquarters. I'm telling you, when you sit down and try to listen to the problem that goes on between a Christian brother and a Christian sister, Christian woman, Christian wife, some of them even met in the church and then got to the altar and swore for better, for worse, in the name of Jesus. And you hear what goes on. Sometimes you just make those of us who are preachers, you begin to see yourself as a complete failure. Because what have you achieved if this is what you are producing? And you are trying to set to them, and this one is sitting gagaraga. Another one is standing there gagaraga. Why? Go back to the foundation. Foundation number one is Genesis chapter 2. Listen. It is a foundation I want to call your attention to. Anyone that is not enjoying your marriage, see, God is the one that instituted the marriage. And if it is God that has instituted a marriage, listen, church. Listen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The inventor or manufacturer of a product, he always has a manual on how to use that product. As long as he is so sure that as long as you follow the manual, he gives you even a warranty. He is so sure, that's why he gives you a warranty. Any product that the manufacturer is sure of, he gives you a guarantee. If it's spoiled, return it to me, I'll give you another one. When he says that he's sure of the product, but he will tell you, you must use it according to the manual. Church, when you have problem in your marriage, prayer does not solve it. God didn't say, when you have problem, you should go and pray. He didn't say so. Go back to the manual of marriage. You are not in that relationship according to the manual of marriage. Correct it. You will not need prayer and fasting. Number one, Genesis chapter 2, verse 23 and verse 24. And Adam said, listen to this. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. The woman, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Verse 24 is my emphasis, foundation number one. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Number one, the man that has decided to marry, you must leave the influences of your parents. Of all the cases I've had cause to handle, it has always been traced back to my sister, my brother, when my wife came to visit me, when my mother came, Then my wife said, then she did not give her food in time. Then my father said, then my mother said, then my father, then my mother, and then my auntie. And then they, so my father sent, said I should bring my wife. And then they sat down. And then when they finished the meeting, my father said, my wife no get head. Do you know there are men that before they even buy wrapper for their wife, they will have to tell their mother? Amen. Listen, church. Once you have decided to get married, brother, you have been cut off from the influence of your parents. You are now beginning your life free from your father and your mother. Let me tell you something. Praise the Lord. Your father, brother, cannot expect you to relate with your wife the way he related with your mother. They are two different women under two different circumstances, married to two different types of men. And as long as you don't consciously, I say consciously, there are people that are more afraid of their father and their mother than they are afraid of God. I don't want to hurt my father. I love that man too much. Anything tell me to do now, I go do. You are not a man yet. That is a serious problem that family will go through. Consciously declare your independence. Why should your father phone you? How that your wife will they be? Hope she cooks well. Hope she receive people very well. Daddy, I don't know. Daddy, more can I pray for me, or this woman will just kill me for nothing. And which father would like his son to be killed by a woman? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Foundation number two. I have to rush it. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 21. Apostle Paul gave us this pillar, this second pillar, and broke it down. And I'm telling you, if you live your life, hold your marriage according to this Bible, you will never have problem. I'm telling you, that is the truth. I'm telling you. You see, some people are Christians, but they have no respect to the word of God. Some people are Christians, but what they use to guide their life is not the Bible. So you miss it. Now, verse 21 there, he made a statement very clearly there. He spoke about concerning husband and wife. He said, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. What he means by submitting yourselves one to another is talking about relating with one another. That is what he means. Relating with one another, husband and wife, the way you relate with one another, you are to do it in the fear of God. If you don't have the fear of God, you can never know how to relate with a human being. Every human being, The way we relate with one another must be guided by the fear of God. Knowing that this person I'm relating with, I may be stronger than you physically, economically, financially, even spiritually. I may be stronger than you, but there is a God behind that person. That if I misbehave, that God will deal with me. Let the rich, let the strong have this in their mind, that there is a God behind that poor person you are oppressing. And it is the fear of that God that makes us relate well with one another. No matter what advantage you have over the man or over the woman, always remember that there is a God that will judge in that relationship. And so, he came down now. He gave the principle for the wife and gave the principle for the man. Verse 22. Wives. If you are a wife, say, Wives. If you are hoping to be a wife, or you are already a wife, wife, answer me. Answer the way they answer your husband for us. Wives! That's how they answer. Praise the Lord. Some of you are lying. Wife! If you say, sir, if you truly answer your husband, sir, will you insult him? Can you insult, sir? That's why I say you are lying. Verse 22. To the wife now, this is your responsibility. He said, submit. Every wife here, say submit. Say it again. Say it again. He said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, he made it very, very clear. Submit. Now, this amen that is coming from the brother's side, when I've been talking to the brothers, make sure that amen continues, please. Now, when he said, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. That is what he's trying to tell is to define how you are to relate with your husband. Remember, in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he gave the hierarchy in the church. The head of the woman is who? It's the man. And the head of the man is who? Is Christ. What he's trying to tell you there is, in the same way that you submit yourself to God, to Christ, that is the same way you should submit yourself to your husband. He defined it. So, don't use grammar. Don't use theology. Don't use English. Don't use intellect. Don't use reasoning. He said, the way you relate to Christ, that is how you should relate in submission to your husband. If you do that, you will never have problem. A foundation is the base upon which a building stands. Now, the righteous, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? All the foundations. Well, there are many foundations, but I'm specifically, I'm concentrating on the foundation for Christian marriage. Even that foundation has been destroyed. And if it is destroyed, what can the righteous do? Church, when you have problem in your marriage, pray. Prayer does not solve it. God didn't say, when you have problems, you should go and pray. He didn't say so. Go back to the manual of marriage. You are not in that relationship according to the manual of marriage. Correct it. You will not need prayer and fasting. Number one, the man that has decided to marry, you must leave the influences of your parents. Listen, church. Once you have decided to get married, brother, you have been cut off from the influence of your parents. You are now beginning your life free from your father and your mother. Marriage foundation number two, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. What it means by submitting yourselves one to another is talking about relating with one another. That is what it means. Relating with one another, husband and wife, the way you relate with one another, you are to do it in the fear of God. So the emphasis is subjection. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Let me read it from verse 1. To the women. If you want your marriage, you want to enjoy your marriage, this is the second pillar for that foundation. Likewise, you wives, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. I'm reading it. Likewise, you wives, he said, be in subjection to your own husbands. And he tries to tell you the effect of you who is married. You are married to an unbeliever. You are a Christian, he's not a Christian. But you are a woman. The effect of subjecting yourself to even a man that is not a Christian, is not a believer. He said, be subjected to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that's an unbeliever. He said, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. By your lifestyle, they will be able to even get converted. How? While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Whose adorning? Christian woman, your identification, your appearance. Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair. Let that not be your identification and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. The heart. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. It's hardly seen these days. Why? The devil has released a spirit upon women of this age called human rights. Gender equality. What a man can do, a woman can do. You get degree, I get degree. Who go cook? We're all the same. If they wear trouser, they wear trouser. What happened? If they go office, they go office. You get car, I get car. You get salary, I get salary. How can you say, you are my boss? I mean, stop that too. And that nonsense has crept into the church. That's the reason why women are now also pastors. It's the same spirit. Praise God. But your identification is the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price, because not too many women in this age can have that type of spirit. And he went backward. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him who? And he said, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. You see, and we are supposed to be daughters of Sarah. If Abraham is our father in the faith, then the women too have something to learn from Mama Sarah. He said, women of old, that is what they used to keep their marriages. I always ask this question. Abraham, for something, for a man like that that had all the wealth, in a time that it was not sin to marry more than one wife. In a time that it was no sin to marry more than one wife. You can marry 10, 20 if you like. Abraham had a wife that stayed all these years until she passed menopause, no child. He would have had reason to go and pregnant one woman outside. And church, Abraham did not have the Holy Ghost. I hope somebody understands me. Abraham did not have the Holy Ghost. Nobody had the Holy Ghost until after Jesus Christ, until after the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And yet somebody who didn't have the Holy Ghost kept his wife for better, for worse. And God is keeping Abraham to judge all of us who hold Bible. Who say Abraham's blessings are mine. The blessings of Abraham came to us through his seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, Christians are here. 2 years after you marry a woman in the church, no child, you begin to keep that woman miserable. God is keeping Abraham to judge all of us. People don't know that. The day we shall meet Christ, a lot of us, we know why certain punishment will come to us as little as this. Because we are holding Bible and we are learning nothing from that Bible. But I also say, for that woman to deserve that type of respect from that man, certainly that woman lived a life of subjection. No wonder she called him Lord. It was total subjection. And any woman that will want total love, compassion, wisdom, knowledge will I use from the husband. You want his heart totally for you, then you have to learn something from Sarah. You see? There cannot be two captains in a boat. Go left. Another one say go right. What will happen? Praise God. Praise the Lord. I was watching a documentary of a plane crash in Korea. There is the captain and there is the first officer. That captain, the captain of every flight, he gives the instruction for the flight, throughout the flight. Now, if you see an aircraft, you see that there are two cabins there. All the instruments are duplicated. One here and the first officer there has his own. So, anytime the captain wants you to take over, all the instruments here, they are all on the other side. He just, you know, presses a button and shifts the command to you, then he can relax. Then when he wants to take over, he order you, I'm taking over, and then he switches it back to his side. Now, when the captain took over, when they were taking off, the first officer noticed that the turtle of the captain was not answering. They took off, and as they banked and they were going, they could not return. Now, he saw it, but there cannot be two captains on board. He was waiting for the captain to tell him, take over, my own has ceased to function. Because he did not give him instruction, he remained there like that. Now, so they go. Crash. All of them died. And they were wondering, why did you, as a first officer, you saw that his own failed? Why didn't you take over? It is pure and simple. He did not give me instruction to take over. He was so much subjected to the captain that even as though they were going to crash, and he knew what he could do to save it, since he was not given order, captain did not give order. Can't we learn something like that in Christianity? For we are, praise the Lord, for we are, for marriage. Hey, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Certainly, I repeat, Sarah, there was something about her that won the heart of Abraham, and Abraham could not offend such a woman. By going out to go and have a child outside, or have a second wife, subjection and the effect of it all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 again. In Ephesians chapter 5. Now, Apostle Paul has finished talking to the women. Now he's going to the man. It's a foundation. It's a pillar. He said, husbands. Can you answer me, husbands? Praise God. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Any husband here, wave your hand. Let me see you. Husband. Thank you very much. Thank you. Your own. The woman's own is to subject herself to you. And your own is to do what? Love your wives. How are you to demonstrate that love? He added there. Evil. You see? He made it very clear. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He loved us unto the death on the cross. Just to have us. Just to keep us. Just to keep us alive. It was that same love Adam exhibited for his wife Eve. Adam knew that what his wife did, she's finished. But Adam said, if you die, I will follow you, die. That's the reason. He was supposed to put her away. But he identified with her and also received a curse along with her. So that all of them together, they will suffer. Nobody only her will suffer. And that is how every true Christian husband I am talking to believers, Christians. That is how we are supposed, that should be our disposition before our wives. In verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 3, it says we should dwell with them according to knowledge. With knowledge. 1 Peter 3 verse 7. According to knowledge, brother, and we should deal with them as weaker vessels. Which knowledge? Knowledge that a woman can never be a man. Church, I am quoting 1 Peter 3 verse 7. It's to the man. We are to treat the women as weaker vessels. Secondly, you are to deal with them according to knowledge. Which knowledge? Can I tell you the knowledge? Praise the Lord. No matter how a woman is doing as if she doesn't need you, the man, it's a lie. She needs you. Am I saying something? And that's the knowledge I want you to note. A woman naturally is designed to say no when she means yes. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to them. I'm talking to the brothers. Are you hearing me? A woman, naturally, she is designed by nature to say no when she actually means yes. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Amen. A woman that has been, she just came back from mountain. Said, God, give me husband. God, give me husband. God, give me husband. After fasting and praying. And a handsome man came. Sister, how are you? The first thing she said, please leave me alone. No, please leave me alone. Meanwhile, in her heart, what her mouth is saying is different from what her heart is saying. Please leave me alone. In her heart, she said, hey. God, I never knew you will answer me this way. Hey. 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 Praise the Lord. Okay. The first time you went to meet your wife, she made younger. You came back again, she made younger. It was the third time she grieved. Now, does it mean, can't you see that all that one she was doing, nyanga, 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 she was actually praying for you to come back? Deal with them according to knowledge. So, when a woman is standing before you, Tony, I regret the day I meet you. I regret, lie. She does not regret anything. According to knowledge. I will pack and go. I will pack and go. Leave her to pack and go. As she they pack, they go. She's wishing that you will come and hold the bag. Don't go now. Don't go now. But she says she's going. She does not. Where should they go? Where should they go? You see why you cannot be angry with a woman too far? Praise the Lord. Where should they go? Half of our house, where should they go? Praise the Lord. If you want to weaken her, say, it's okay, you can go. Tell her, it's okay, you can go. After some time, she will talk, say, you are wicked. I'm not going anywhere. Now, here I go stay. Now, me, you get this house. I'm not going anywhere. I told you she didn't mean it. We shall continue. Okay, there's another question coming from Maureen from Germany. What if a man tells a woman that he loves her not because she's beautiful, educated, and so on, but because she understands him? Pastor, do such love fade away? He loves you. Why I love you is because you understand me. Now, listen, church. Listen, church. We always read in between the lines when two lovers are communicating. When two lovers are communicating, the language, the usage of the language, they understand themselves better than you when they hear. See, if somebody say, a man can say, why I love you, it's not because of your beauty, it's not because of your education, but it's because of the way you cook. That is his own way of appreciating an aspect of your life. That is his own language of appreciating you. He knows how horrible he is. He knows not too many people understand him. But I'm getting a woman that understands me. That is the reason why I always talk. It's just his own way of commending you. How can he love you just because you understand him? The day you don't understand him, Unko. So you have to understand. I believe that is the language. It's just appreciating the fact that as bad as he is, you don't tolerate him. And he knows how horrible he is. He's not able to maintain any relationship. You are only the only one that has been able to stay and understand him and manage him. That's why I like you. That is the meaning of that statement. Thank you. Yes.
Pastor, my question is, there is some men, if they are in love, they will be so jealous. They will be very, very jealous. It should be because of that love. What if thereby the wife committed that sin and asked for forgiveness, and the man forgive, and he still have that thing in mind? He can never forget it because he was jealous. Anytime they have misunderstanding, he will use it and insult the woman. If you are the woman, what will you do?
No, there are. You are mixing two things here. Not forgetting has nothing to do with jealousy. Not forgetting is a sign of immaturity. That man is not a proper man. You see, one characteristic of a man that makes him different from a woman is his ability to contain. The ability to bear something. So when you see a man that behaves like a child, like a woman, you know that you are marrying a defective man. Psychologically defective. I have seen such men that at the slightest opportunity they will mention the weakness of the woman. The woman thought, na better man he did deal with. And then to just offload her heart, then begins to tell the man her past. How many men she went out with as unbeliever. How her father drove her out because of her useless life. Ah, Johnny, I was bad though. So you think say now better person you talk to. Then the day you offend them, say, see this as shawu. Where every man for your village don't sleep with finish. You come find one man here. Where he did. And then he thinks he is saying something. And not knowing that is just displaying immaturity.
question is that there is a man that married, the wife married the man because of his money. So this topic now is because of women that marry man because of money. So after everything, the man is very ugly man, very short man. So as he married the woman, he even buy car, he's a millionaire, buy car for his wife, for everything. So if they want to go occasion, if the husband tell her wife to go to the occasion, so the wife will tell her husband to be going, that he's coming. So because he cannot work with the man. Why not? He even have boyfriend outside. So if they...
What's your question now?
My question is that after everything, the man notice what is going on and pursue the woman. After everything, the woman is now begging the man. So some people say that the man should forgive, and some people say that the man should not forgive the woman that is not your real wife. So, Pastor, I want to understand.
You mean the man found out that the woman was just coming to him because of his money?
Yes, yes.
Now the woman chased him, maybe now he chased her.
The man chased the woman.
So how can he say the woman came to him because of his money?
The woman was begging his husband to come back now, to allow her to come back. So the man refused. Some people were standing.
No. That's why I asked the question.
My question.
The marriage.
Yes.
Is it the man that chased the woman to marry her, that went approach the woman to marry her,
yes,
or the woman came to approach the man to marry her?
The man went to the woman.
I'm trying to get something here. Church, listen. Okay, just in a nutshell. After the marriage, the man discovered the woman didn't love him.
Yes.
So sent her away.
Yes.
But the woman is coming back to beg.
Yes.
And now, since nobody him, she chased him initially to marry her.
Yes.
The thing that made him to go after her,
yes,
to be his wife, should override any other thing she has done. Now that she's begging, I will advise the man to give her a second chance. Maybe she will now change and be more romantic with him. At least she should use the man's money and beautify the man and make the man be presentable so that they can be going out proudly together with the man. It's not only that, there are some men that cannot go out with their wives. They feel that their wives are not beautiful enough. Why you go marry him? If you are not proud to present your wife. There are some men, even after service, when we close, nay, let's go. She there for there, in there for front. Hurry up, Namu, we go. Why? Does not want to be seen holding. And some women too. They don't like romantic men. When they see, come, they cannot hold their wife, their husband like this. Their husband cannot hold and say, no, I'm going to go for road. If you hold her like this, say, leave my hand, I'm going to go. A bush woman. Village, fool you everywhere. Village, fool your body. Your grandmama style, they use her in this digital age. So small time, you say your husband, now they work out, they look other women for road, they go, they look other women. When you don't give her what in the fine car, you should be proud of your wife, proud of your husband. Whole hand. And the truth also is that after marriage, when you are young, sister, Chop. Immediately marriage finish. After one picking, you will just lose yourself. Everything. Wow. Everything. Then you say, my husband, no, they look me again. No, they look me again. You can't ask yourself, what did they make you look you before? It's still there. It's wrong. Take care of yourself. See, it is one thing to be attracted. There's something you do to attract somebody to come to you. But after the person has come to you, there are other things too you will do to keep that person. If you don't do it, you will lose the person. The person will just be fulfilling all righteousness. Now my husband be that. Now my wife be that. Who be that? Now my husband be that. Now my wife be that. That's all now. And brother too. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, we are in an age. I just used that word, digital age. We are in an age of modernization. That we must reflect it in all our daily living. As a family, learn to take your families out. Create time for your families. Create time for your families. One minister and his wife, 2 weeks ago or so, they were having misunderstanding. And we sat down to settle their matter. And the greatest problem is that the man had no time for the family. Every day, church, prayer, church, prayer, prayer, church, prayer, family deliverance, here, north, south, east. When he comes home, man, carry this children, man, don't worry me, I want to rest. You enter his room, lock it to sleep. Wake up, pop. Hey, child. Even talking with the wife. The small time the wife has with him. At the top, phone. Hello? Okay, close your eye in Jesus' name. So the woman said, which kind of Allah is this? And I said, she's correct. She is correct. And I encourage the woman, no greed. Am I not the pastor? I say, go and ask my wife, my family. We go out. We go out. You must create time for the home. It's important. Until you are a stranger to even your children at the home. Say, what happened? I be minister. Minister, where? Your first ministry is your home. Praise the Lord. Brother, be romantic. Be romantic. Don't be behaving like a village man. You are not a village man. Even in the village. See. Do you know that Abimelech, when Isaac and Rebecca, they were moving, they got to a place and they saw Rebecca. Isaac was afraid. His wife was so beautiful that these Gentile kings, they will kill and collect her. So he talked, saying, "Now, sister Abby." But one day through the window, the king saw them. He used the word sporting. What is sporting? They were playing. This play, don't be brother and sister play. They were real, real romance themselves. You know, they were playing. The king said, call and say, you didn't tell me this is your wife. Now you will have brought trouble to us here. So, my emphasis there is that at that time, how many thousands of years ago, they were sporting. Brother, ask your neighbor, are you married? Do you sport with your wife? Praise the Lord. My wife is here. Sometimes we go out jogging together. Yes, now. And are the wrong person. Amen. We jog together. We do a lot of things together now. I take them out to Chinese restaurants. Any day I get money, all of us, the whole family will sit down, eat Chinese food. Say, don't cook today, we are going to Chinese. Is it because I like to eat frog and grass and this one? No! Just to create time for them. They go here, say, then go Chinese. I go sit down there. All the money I spend are for nothing. Because which food? I don't know the name of the food. I don't know what they chop. Is it because I like it? It's not for me, it's for them. Because I discovered they like it. Since they like it, I say, go ahead. Chop. Mr. Go sit down there. What is the chop? I don't know. But I'm doing it for them. So you must create time for them. Let them have fun. You have children. During holiday, there are places you should take them out to. You should care for the home. Don't be so spiritual until all they know in your house is vigil in the night. In Jesus' name, abide Holy Ghost fire, anoint everywhere. There is life beyond night vigil every time for houses. Christianity is more than prayer. Every time prayer, 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 prayer. That's why children who grow up in such conservative atmosphere, by the time they bolt out to the university, they just do, hey. That's when you discover that you achieve nothing. That's important for somebody here. Praise the Lord.
There is power mighty in the blood.
Are you suffering from spiritual husband or wife?
There is power.
Are you facing frustration and rejection? Is your spiritual life stagnant?
Jesus Christ.
How have you been baptized? Do you know if really your sins are remitted? Join us every Tuesday as we teach on true water baptism.
When Jesus Christ said, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, He is telling you, go and baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Pure water ministration for your healing and deliverance.
We plead the blood of Jesus. Father, let the blood that was shed on the cross on Calvary speak for our healing and deliverance this afternoon in the name of Jesus. We invoke that power that was released on the cross on Calvary into this water for our healing and deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ. Use this water, root out every infirmity in the name of Jesus Christ. As you drink this water, life will be restored in the name of Jesus.
One-on-one counseling with the prophet. Join Pastor Moses Alu and other anointed ministers.
By the grace of God upon my life, I, Pastor Moses Alu, I lose you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Shalom.
Praise the Lord. All you businessmen, you're always traveling from America today, Dubai tomorrow, China next tomorrow. Since you have the funds to travel out, once every year, carry all your family out on holiday. Go and spend 1-2 weeks and come back. Give them also the privilege to know the outside world like you have known. If you can get a visa, praise the Lord. Since you can get a visa, you've been traveling, they will give your family when you tell them you are going out on holiday. You go and come back. Don't be so selfish. Only you, the travel, go abroad. Then you leave your local wife for here. Even Abuja, you don't know. It's wrong. Every businessman here that travel out, plan now, next year, you must take your family out on holiday. You must do it in Jesus' name. Are the businessmen answering me? All of you that travel out, importer, exporter, all of you must take your families out. In Jesus' name. The money to take them out. No, it's there. Don't say it's not there. You save for it. That's the difference between Oyibo and us. They save for it. They plan for it. They know how much they will need and they save for it. Okay, if you cannot take them abroad, get a good holiday resort in Nigeria and go and stay there at least. All of you there together. They run around with your children for some time out there. It shows you care.